new heart, new spirit. Your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary, connecting you to the heart and spirit of St. Francis de Sales Seminary in southeastern Wisconsin. Here's your host, Father Don Hying.
Good morning. Welcome to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. This is Father Don Hying, rector of your seminary and host of this program, where we share with you stories of the people and events taking place at St. Francis de Sales. Thank you for tuning into our program this Holy Saturday morning. This half-hour show airs the first Saturday of every month from 11 a.m. to 11:30. The seminary is located in St. Francis, just south of the city of Milwaukee, right on Lake Michigan, and just north of Cousins Center. Our seminary was established in 1845 and has operated in our current location since 1856. We continue to form men for the priesthood today, blending our rich tradition with the demands of the 21st century with a new heart and a new spirit. Currently, we have 35 seminarians enrolled in our seminary formation program, preparing for the priesthood for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. And we're proud of them, and we're ecstatic at that number. We're looking forward to a very fulfilling time as we move into spring. Every spring, we have ordinations. So this April 24th, four of our seminarians will be ordained to the transitional diaconate, crossing another milestone on their path to the priesthood. And then on May 15th, four new priests will be ordained for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, with another being ordained in July. Last year, six men were ordained. This year, five. Next year, five as well. Year after that, potentially nine. You can see we're on a great roll and a momentum. We are forming the hearts, minds, and souls of your future priests. So please continue to pray for our deacons and priests and all the men studying here in hopes of someday serving you as their pastor. Thank you for the part you play in that formation. I've certainly discovered as rector that it takes an entire diocese to form a young person to find and to live their vocation in the mystery of the church. Speaking of vocation, there's probably no one that plays a larger role in forming both men and women to discover, to discern, and to embrace their vocation as our parents. We are all called to love and serve God. And when I use the term vocation, I am referring to the specific ways that God calls each of us to do just that. How can we best love and serve Him? Each one of us, through the mystery of baptism, has been baptized into the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And that means that the Lord gives each one of us a specific task to do. And so the church continues to need holy married couples. We need priests, religious. We need deacons and lay ministers. We need missionaries and catechists. Everyone has a particular life to embrace and a particular task to accomplish. And when we discover what that is for us, when we know that this is what Jesus wants for me, we've discovered fire. We've discovered our vocation. I always say to young people, it's not so much what is it that you want to do with your life. It's really, what does Jesus want to do with your life? And so even if you're only 6 or 7 years old, you're not too young to start praying and asking Jesus to tell you what it is that He wants to do with your life and to live that with all of your heart. There are many vocations, obviously, in the church. And those called to marriage have the added vocation of parenthood. And you know the amazing intricacies, difficulties, but also joys and wonders of that vocation. Every parent wants what is best for their children. It's discovering with them what is best that is often the challenge. Part of the vocational call to parenthood is helping your child discover their own vocation. And oftentimes, there's so many options, there's so many choices that our children find themselves paralyzed at times in making a decision. So I always say in spiritual direction, just get out of the boat. Just try something. It may not be ultimately what God is calling you to do, but be brave and be courageous. What if your child's vocation is to the priesthood? It's a great question. Today, I am joined by Bob and Maureen Gibson. Their son, John, is a seminarian studying to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. And so it's with great joy and gratitude that we welcome Bob and Maureen to our show today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Father Don. We're happy to be a part of the program.
Now, John's been a seminarian for, is it 2 years now? He started later on in college, right?
Right.
Can you just tell us a little bit about his vocational journey, how he came to discern his call to the priesthood?
John was studying at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee in the School of Engineering. He had his sights set on being an aeronautical engineer, but it was actually after high school and into his first year of college that he heard God's calling, and it's a beautiful journey to watch unfold, and we enjoyed his enthusiasm for the academic and the spiritual, but he told us as he was a freshman at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee that he was going to hold a meeting with the seminary and to tell us that he wanted to go into the priesthood.
So he was thinking about that for a while.
He was.
Started in engineering, ended up studying philosophy. That's quite a shift.
Mm. Right. He was sent to the, when he did decide that the seminary was for him, he was sent to St. Joseph's College Seminary at Loyola University in Chicago to finish in philosophy. And he was there 2 years. And this year he was sent to Rome to study at the Pontifical North American College there.
Which is just a spectacular opportunity for him and for all of us as his vocation is formed there. Tell us a little bit about your family as John was growing up. Obviously, you lived, practiced your faith in such a way that priesthood became just a natural choice for John. Can you just tell us a little bit about your family life and what John was like growing up? Did you ever think you'd be sitting in a radio studio someday talking about him as a seminarian, him as a future priest?
Well, as a married couple, Father Don, our family has provided a lot of challenges, no question. Maureen is from a large family of 10. I'm from a large family of 8. Both of our families were well-rooted in our faith. And as such, the transition when we took on our family was an easy one for us. We're churchgoers on a regular basis and have always felt very strong about providing that opportunity to our children. As such, our 5 kids, we've got four boys, including John, obviously, and one daughter, and their relationship with each other is incredibly strong. Mm-hmm. Supportive of each and every efforts. We have a son that's a publisher for a magazine, a son that's an architect. My daughter, Madeline, is in school at UW-Madison, and Nicholas, our youngest, is at Ohio State. And John sits right in the middle. And interestingly enough, John has, in his discernment, become almost a foundation for our family, for our faith, and how he practices it. And as a young boy, we always commented since he was an infant that he was Johnny from heaven. He just had a way about him and a demeanor about him that was very caring, very conscious of the needs of others. Mm-hmm. And that displayed itself through his relationships with his siblings and also with Maureen and I. We've been very fortunate to see John as he has grown up becoming the individual that he is today.
He definitely radiates goodness, so it's good to know that started in the cradle, right?
That's beautiful. Certainly.
But it sounds like you've beautifully nurtured all of your children to discover their talents, to challenge them to discern what it is that God is calling them to do, and to support that, right, without putting a lot of pressure on them to live a particular career or vocation that perhaps is not theirs. And I think that's exactly what parents need to do, is to be supportive in general terms, to open up the possibilities, but then, in essence, to stand back and let the Holy Spirit really work.
Right.
Right.
And we do see that faith in action. Again, you had profoundly stated it earlier that we as parents want what's best for our children. So we give them that foundation. We let them make the choices. In John's case, we've been nothing but supportive, and his family have been nothing but supportive every step of the way.
So your reaction when he told you, "I'm thinking of being a priest," was...
No surprise.
So it's like it was there all along, and he finally discovered it himself.
It was important to John to tell us very carefully that this was what he's choosing for his life. Mm-hmm. And people ask us how we feel about it, and we feel the same way as when Luke told us he was going to marry Amanda or any of the kids' mm-hmm. choices. We're just very happy for John.
Mm-hmm. I find at times, especially if there's only one son in a family, sometimes that vocation of the priesthood is not necessarily encouraged by the parents because, you know, the parents want grandchildren or they have different plans of success. And again, I think everyone has to discern their own vocation and live the authenticity of their life. But in the lives of the saints, oftentimes parents of the saints were opposed to their children's path because they just had other plans. So I think the openness that you've demonstrated in the lives of your children have just allowed them to grow and become themselves, right? To become the
right to give them permission to make their decisions. And in this case, everyone's very conscious of the joys and the challenges that the priest life presents and the seminarian, but they're welcomed here.
What advice would you have for parents out there that are listening who maybe their son, maybe their daughter is giving evidence of extraordinary religious fervor, you know, maybe praying in their room, maybe saying mass in the basement, you know, in a play parish. And the parents might be looking at that and saying, I want to nurture this, but I don't want to either stifle it, but I also don't want to push it so that it's my agenda. And any concrete advice you have from your own experience?
I'd say just accept that your son or daughter is processing their lives and actually hearing callings, if you will, in some way, shape, or form, and that we as parents need to embrace that, whatever it is that they're venturing into. Without that embrace and without that, you know, objectivity towards their well-being, I think we are irresponsible to our kids. In this case, for John, we were wholeheartedly in favor of you know, what the opportunity that became available to him and the decision that he made in his life.
You're listening to New Heart, New Spirit, your radio show about your seminary, St. Francis de Sales. We're taking a short break, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered about using Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, or Meetup for business purposes? If so, then the April meeting of the Relevant Radio Catholic Business Association is for you. Our featured speaker is Allie Blackburn, a local expert on all social media. The meeting will be April 15th, 7:30 a.m. at Mercy Academy in Wauwatosa. All the details can be found at relevantradiomilwaukee.com, keyword CBA. That's relevantradiomilwaukee.com, keyword CBA.
Connecting you to the heart and spirit of St. Francis de Sales Seminary. This is New Heart, New Spirit on Relevant Radio. Once again, Father Don Hying.
Welcome back to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. And today we're talking about how the vocation of the priesthood affects and changes, blesses and challenges a family, and indeed how that vocation in essence becomes the vocation of the entire family. We're blessed to be talking with Bob and Maureen Gibson, parents of one of our current 35 men studying to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. So we welcome you back, Maureen and Bob, and we're grateful for your presence on our show.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
We've been talking quite a bit just about how John's vocation has come forth from your family, but also has had a transformative effect on your family. And I know we were talking before the show, Maureen and Bob, just how everyone in your family has kind of reflected on what this means for them and how John has kind of become a catalyst for even a deepening of your faith, as deep and rich as it's been. Do you want to just talk about that a little bit, just the interplay of vocation of family, vocation to priesthood, and ways that your family has grown because of John's yes to the priesthood?
Thank you, Father Don. John's decision to enter the seminary and, God willing, become a priest has resonated throughout not only the families, but his friends as well. I mean, if you think about it, the opportunity for evangelization with one of 10 kids. Mm-hmm. Bob's one of 8. Their siblings, 40 grandchildren.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people that have now, again, God willing, will have a priest in the family. And that consciousness does enhance their faith as well and the way we talk about our faith. And his friends are so proud of him and look forward to him baptizing their kids. Mm-hmm. And the dialogue is very open and free. Initially, there was a little shock value, but I think just like anything else, once those obstacles are overcome in terms of seeing the joy in John's face and how he lives his life so happily, that's the answer right there.
I think it's great, you know, that somebody they went to school with, somebody they played football with, somebody maybe they even went out with,
right,
ends up discerning a vocation to the priesthood. And it's not just somebody else. It's somebody that we intimately know and care about. And, you know, praise God that God has called John to the priesthood.
Right.
How would you say that John's vocation has deepened your family's response to your vocation and to the faith?
Well, again, John has, for years, the better part of his life, been a catalyst of, our faith and our foundation. And he has really taken on a pilgrimage of sorts in helping his brothers and sister through a better understanding of what our faith is all about. And I think, we as parents, of course, have developed a foundation, but John is just more intimately in touch with, the importance of Christ in his life and our life and our family's life.
And people start perceiving you in a different way, don't they? It's just like, oh, you're the parents of a seminarian. You know, you must have lived your life in a particular way that allowed that to happen. Has that happened to you, where people have kind of?
Yes, but praise God that John's journey is independent. But we just are able to understand the Spirit, the Holy Spirit involved in such a decision, and how nice that is to allow John to embark on this journey. And we are traveling with him, and every day we learn more and more.
At John Paul, when he wrote his book on his 50 years of priesthood, he called it The Priesthood, A Gift and a Mystery. And I think both of those words articulate well what the priesthood is. It's nothing earned, it's nothing forced, it's nothing created. It comes as a gift and a mystery. And just as marriage, I mean, marriage is a vocation equally important to priesthood or religious life, and that's a gift and a mystery as well, you know, meant to be lived with joy, generosity.
It is a gift, absolutely.
Yeah. And from the gift of your marriage has come the gift of John's vocation. Tell me about his blog. I mean, we live in this 21st century stratosphere of technology, and here's a seminarian that has this blog. Just an amazing thing. I've looked at it a couple times. Can you just explain that a little bit?
You know, it's interesting to hear John speak so with such excitement about Jesus Christ and the Lord with such fervor. But then you see pictures of John as he travels in London, and he's been given the opportunity to share other areas of Europe. But the blog is kind of something that is happening more and more, is evangelization through the web. And it's interesting to hear what John's learning through the blog. And the pictures are amazing because I get to see John again. But I think that he's it's very formative for him to be able to express God's will that's happening to him through the blog.
You kind of see his journey towards the priesthood unfolding a picture at a time, a reflection at a time, an event at a time, an experience at a time. And you know, if you could just put all that as a composite, I mean, he's going to see this amazing, almost like the development of a photograph.
That's true.
Closer to priesthood.
That's perfect.
Well, we also revel in John's initiative and the fact that he wants to share these experiences straight up with not only us, his family, but people out there on the web. And it's serving us well and at the same time him.
Yeah, it's an amazing gift for all of us, I think. Have you had to deal with any negative feedback or negative advice or people just responding in a less than positive way to John or to you in terms of his vocational choice?
I think for the most part, we've been getting a lot of positive feedback, very little negative. If you can place a negativism on any aspect, it may be the uncertainty of what the priesthood is all about that people are sharing with us.
Sure.
And that being said, as John, you know, evolves in his seminary study, and of course the blog that he's got going, really kind of educates us, all of us, to understanding what this is all about, and it's a reaffirmation to us that what John's doing and embarking in is a real positive experience, and our family members share that as well.
That's wonderful. I think sometimes people have concerns about celibacy. You know that, you know, this person's going to be lonely, and after 21 years of priesthood, I wished I was lonely sometimes, because the life of an average priest is so filled with people, I don't have time or ambition to be lonely. I mean, there's so much to do and so much to engage in and so much to be, and I think you see that in our young men as well. They're just ready to be involved in the world, not shut off from people, but just loving people with all their heart, with all the passion of Jesus' heart as well. I think a lot of our listeners would probably find it a mystery as to why certain seminarians study in Rome and what that's all about. So I'm just going to talk for a couple of minutes about the Pontifical North American College in Rome. It was established in the 1850s during the papacy of Pope Pius IX, and he had a great desire for American seminarians to spend time in Rome to strengthen the ties between the Holy See and this relatively new church in the United States. And so every country throughout the world, every local church sends some men to Rome to be formed there. And many of them study at the Gregorian University, which is run by the Jesuits. So all of the United States seminarians commute every day to the Greg for their theology classes. But they have their pastoral formation, their human and spiritual formation, their liturgical formation, their prayer. All of that occurs at the North American College, which is this amazing building built right after World War II within the site of the Vatican itself. So they're right at the pulse of things. Archbishop Dolan invited particular seminarians to consider going to the North American College. It didn't mean that they were better or brighter or anything like that, but it just gives some of our future priests a broader perspective on the church, and they bring that experience and that richness certainly into their ministry. So John was one of those invited to go. And I'm sure it's difficult from the sense of missing him, but if you just want to tell us a little bit about how you stay in touch with him and your hopes of getting there someday.
Sure. You know, it's interesting when John was invited by Archbishop Dolan to study in Rome. And I hate to admit this, but he said, I'll get back to you on that one because, you know, what's not to love. But he wanted to check with us first. And we talked about it. And I said, yes, that's what a great opportunity for you and for us. And John recognizes the challenges, not for him. He's fine, but for us, as I miss him. I know everyone misses Johnny, but he'll be back this summer. But thank goodness for Skype.
Yeah, how does that work? How's that going?
Go ahead.
Well, Skype is a computer audio system that enables us to communicate with John over the computer, verbally and through, you know, and
video.
That's amazing. I remember the Jetsons as a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, whoever thought we'd live long enough to see it come true?
Well, and the good part about it is it's free. So,
and we get to see John's face and where he's living, and we get to hear him and hear what he has to say, and we make appointments, usually on Sunday afternoon, to talk to John, to Skype with John.
So Rome is 7 hours ahead of us, so it's nighttime over there.
That's right.
Yes,
right.
That's fantastic. I know a goal of us at the seminary is to get the parents of our seminarians more involved in our mission, you know, maybe even start a little group where they can come together and get to know each other. I know other dioceses do that to great effect. So I'm sure, Bob and Maureen, you'd be willing and able to be part of that. And I think
Absolutely.
It would also be a good way to welcome new parents of seminarians who may have questions or concerns, where they can just come and talk to you, and you've kind of been through this. You can show them the ropes.
Father Don, that's a great idea because sometimes the unknown creates doubt and fear in a lot of people's minds and hearts. But getting to having the opportunity to speak to parents of seminarians help a lot, I think.
Yeah, that's fantastic. There's nothing like experience, and you have that. It's been a great pleasure, Maureen and Bob, to have you on New Heart, New Spirit this morning. You've been a great resource for our listeners and will continue to be. So thank you for sharing your stories and insights with us. May God bless you and your beautiful vocation of marriage and family.
Thank you.
And you as well, Father Don. Thank you.
Just have a couple of updates. As I mentioned, the diaconate ordination will be April 24th at 10:30 a.m. at St. Matthias Parish in Milwaukee. Archbishop Listecki will be ordaining Christopher Klusman, Hugo Londoño, Javier Guatiba, and Kevin McManaman to the transitional diaconate. So please pray for them. And then it's on to priesthood ordination, May 15th at 10:30 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. John the Evangelist. Deacon Matthew Witter, Deacon Chuck Robel, Deacon Eric Weiss, and Deacon Anthony Primal Thomas will all be ordained as your new priests for this year. Everyone is welcome to those ceremonies. If you've never been to an ordination, I strongly encourage you to go because you come out of it just inspired, on fire, especially if there's a young person in your life that's thinking of priesthood, take them to an ordination because it will certainly plant a great seed in his mind and heart. Also on July 17th, Deacon Johnny Burns, who is studying in Rome, will be ordained at the cathedral. Their exam and semester schedule is so different. That's why he can't be here in May to be ordained with his class, but we'll be blessed to have his priesthood as well. Save the date for our seminary golf outing. It will be Monday, July 26th at Triple I Country Club, as it's been for the last 4 years. More information to come on our website, and please contact us with questions at 414-747-6400. You're listening to the show on Holy Saturday, and it's just a great moment just to pause briefly and remember that all of us live our lives in the Paschal mystery of Christ's death and resurrection, that is the meaning, purpose, and center of life for us. And I like to think of the priest as a servant of the Paschal mystery, that in preaching God's word and celebrating the sacraments and shepherding God's people, it's Jesus' death and resurrection that over and over again is made present in our lives through the beautiful ministry of priests and through the service of all of God's people. So, blessed Easter to all of you. May this celebration of Jesus' death and resurrection renew you and bring you new life as we continue to live our Catholic faith with passion and conviction. Please tune in next month. We will be having some of our deacons on board talking about their excitement and perhaps nervousness as they approach priesthood.
To contact Father Hying, send an email, newheartnewspirit@sfs.edu, or call 414-747-6400. And be sure to join us next time on New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. New Heart, New Spirit, on Relevant Radio, connecting you to the heart and spirit of St. Francis de Sales Seminary in southeastern Wisconsin.